This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Sorry, Bob.
I had my mic on and that not only, you heard it here, but the Calliope's so quickly.
Oh, Bob, I was up all night. Do you know that? I woke up at 4 o'clock in an anxious, just...
For what?
Fever dream. I don't know why. I'm back on caffeine for once. I'm having trouble sleeping. I'm thinking about the state of the world. I'm thinking about the trip to Florida. I'm thinking about, is Bob going to be here for the whole show tomorrow or today?
All part-time kinds of pump, things. Baby. You know me.
Daughter getting ready for college in a year from
that
now.
That should be a bigger concern for you because it was for us.
Daughter driving. The whole thing.
That's even bigger.
Yeah. How did we, who am I? Why am I on earth? I didn't have a choice, but here I am. I'm a person. Where am I going? I'm getting older. Yeah, my parents are getting older.
Nostradamus.
My nephew's getting married. How are we going to get there? We need passport. How does anybody survive any day, Bob? There's too much to think about.
Well, you need to just trust whatever you want to trust and let it happen. You know, Andrew Destin has done that, and he's with
leaving,
us.
He's leaving.
Yeah, there he is, and
yeah,
he's leaving. I'm disappointed to hear that, but yeah, it sounds like a great opportunity for you, Andrew. So, congratulations.
Yes, I second that. Where are you going?
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I appreciate it. First, I mean, just relate to a lot of what you were feeling right there, Joe, talking about the world at large. Definitely relate to that. But yeah, I'm very excited about what's to come next, which is official, and I'll get that out on social media here in the next coming days. But I'm headed to Seattle to write for the Associated Press. So
nice,
I'll be
man.
Out there covering, general Washington area sports, primarily in Seattle, but the Seahawks, the Mariners, the Kraken, a little bit of UW athletics, occasionally make a road trip out to Gonzaga or something like that.
Nice.
But, you got to do the Gonzaga thing. Absolutely. That's such a cool program.
Yeah, so should be a good time. I'll speak candidly and say it's been a lot to come to terms with just in terms of leaving Pittsburgh and all the time and memories I've made here and all the friendships I've forged. It is a ton to come to terms with, but I'm certainly excited about it, but cautiously excited. That's probably the best way of putting it.
Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette has been a wonderful guest for us. I met him once. Is there a going away party for you?
We'll see about that. I officially leave here on April 5th, so I'll stick around for the home opener. Make sure I say my goodbyes to all the beat reporters and all the media folks there. But I got my dad flying across the country to meet up with me, and we're gonna fly across or we're gonna drive across the country and road trip it together, which should be good.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'm looking forward to that.
That is fantastic.
That's the best way to find out about everything, actually, I think, Andrew. When you make trips and you stop places and you see things instead of just getting there quickly.
Yeah.
It's a great learning experience.
No doubt. Yeah. The longest road trip I did was when I graduated college. I flew from San Francisco to Chicago and met up with one of my good buddies, one of my old roommates who was doing a road trip. And we went Chicago back to San Francisco. So for absolutely no reason, I did a road trip. I was just joining him for it.
Because you were young and you were agreeable to everything. When you're young, you say, sure, I'll go. Where are we going? I don't know. I'm going to go. That's how it is.
Exactly. It was, doing that right before starting at the Post-Gazette. And since then, it's been a treat. But first long, long road trip like that since college. So
four things I would like you to do in Seattle. Go to the original Starbucks. Go have dinner in the Space Needle. Visit Vinny Ricci and drive to Vancouver.
The last one, big time.
Yeah, the last one for sure. I got to get up there at least for a Canucks game or something.
Oh, my God.
Check out the whole city.
What a
city.
The Vinny Ricci thing is mandatory, too, I feel like. Have you ever met Vinny? He still lives out there, I believe.
I can't say I have, but I have been told that I need to meet all of, former Penguins brain trust and folks that are running the ship there, coaching the team. The whole Kraken operation is basically just Penguins West.
And what's it called? Pike's Market, Bob? Is that what they have in Seattle?
They do have that, yes. There's a lot of great places there.
And right around there is the original Starbucks. Have you been there, Bob?
No, I missed that one.
The very first one is out there, Andrew. Were you aware of that?
I am, yeah. Actually, funny story real quick. I haven't spent a lot of time in Seattle since I was a little kid, but when I was probably about, 11, 12 years old, we went there one time on a family vacation. We drove from the Bay Area up to Seattle to take a cruise up to Alaska, which is, one of the more memorable family vacations. But we stopped at the original Starbucks, and I got myself a chocolate milk, so I did pretty good for myself, I guess.
Bob, do you mind if I ask Andrew a question or two about his trip to Alaska?
No, go right ahead. I find it interesting.
I mean, is it stereotypically Alaska where you go there and it's just like frozen tundra? Or what did you do? What was Alaska like? Did you go ice fishing? What happened?
Well, so it was in the summer, so it made it a heck of a lot more tolerable. But yeah, so we went from Seattle to Alaska, hit Juneau, hit Skagway, hit a couple of these cities. We had one day where it was actually very hot. We rented a car. And I want to say we rented it in Juneau. I might have that wrong. If my folks are listening, please correct me. But we rented a car and then drove to the Yukon Territory so that we could say we went to the Yukon Territory, where they had these mosquitoes that were the biggest darn things you'd seen. They were the size of a palm of your hand.
Did you see Yukon Cornelius?
I wish. He was nowhere to be found, nor the abominable snowman. It was very disappointing.
Limits, do you have a question either about Andrew's trip to Seattle or Alaska?
Yeah, I'm very curious just about Alaska in general, because I hear that it's just so picturesque and such a beautiful place to visit. And I feel like there are some hidden gems in Alaska, and I'm just curious about the state in general and why I should visit.
Yeah, gorgeous, gorgeous place, man. Can't recommend it enough. Well, it's funny, though, because looking back on it, part of why that trip is so memorable for our family is we were considering doing like a whole family of five trip out to Europe. Like, we had it all slated to go. That was going to be the big powwow, like knock it all down family vacation. And me and my older brother, at that time, we were, I would like to think, relatively uncultured. All we cared about really was sports and the United States. So we kind of poo-pooed those plans. And my older sister, who was in college, well-versed, very intelligent woman who works in creative writing now at Florida State, was devastated. And instead, we drove up to Seattle and caught a Mariners game and went to Alaska. So, don't get me wrong, it was a great vacation. It's just funny thinking back on it, because it's like, oh, we could have gone to Europe and hit all of these different spots. And me and my brother were like, no, let's go catch Mariners Red Sox. That sounds way cooler.
Bob, do you have any lingering questions about Andrew's trip to Alaska?
No, other than that's one of those places that I think is on my bucket list too. So if it ever comes to be, I will call you and ask for some advice, Andrew.
Should Anchorage have sports teams, Bob? Like in the NFL, maybe an MLB team,
no.
Something like that? No?
No, I think it's too far away and I don't know there's enough there to support it. Am I wrong? I don't know.
I don't know. Ask the guy who's been to Alaska. Could they support a team out there?
Can they support a team?
I don't know about that. And I also can't speak for Anchorage. I've never been there. But, I mean, God, like, I just Yeah, that's way too remote. I mean, I think the flight from Seattle to Anchorage is like 3 hours or 3.5 hours.
Wow.
So, and Seattle is as remote as it gets for any North American major pro sports city. So,
all right,
yeah,
Andrew.
Probably shooting that one down.
Yeah. Well, we'll say our goodbyes in a moment. But in the meantime, we have a season opener with the Pirates and a lot of unanswered questions. The first of which is Jared Jones. And I should start you out by saying, when's he going to come back? And that way we can get Shelty's attention immediately. I guess this was a pretty good break for them, all things considered, that he doesn't need surgery, right?
Yeah, sounds like it for right now. And obviously 6 weeks is not preferable, right? Like, you'd obviously like for the guy to be back sooner, but it sounds like they've dodged a bullet for now. We've gone down this road before with various guys, right, where they get out there and you think 6 weeks, the recovery time is going to be okay and they'll be able to return from it, and it doesn't turn out to be that way. So remains to be seen. I think as of right now, hey, this is as good as you could ask for in terms of a clean bill of health for Jared Jones. It's just troublesome from the stance of, hey, when he comes back, will he be 100%? Will he be able to actually be operating at a full capacity? Will he have any limitations? That remains to be seen. But in terms of what you've got right now, effective March 26, hey, this is optimistic. This gives you reason to believe he could be back by sometime in mid-May or June or something like that. Because if not, the worst case scenario was if this was Tommy John, I mean, you could have been looking at Jared Jones not coming back until mid to late 2026. Mm. Like, the timing of Tommy John surgery, if it is required, really couldn't be much worse. So to avoid that for the time being is a good sign for the Pirates.
I think the key word there, phrase you just said, is for the time being. I mean, these things can be tricky too. So, you know, 6 weeks of nothing, and then all of a sudden it would take at least six more, I think, Andrew, to get back. And then how will they approach him? How will they use him at that point? Because I don't know if you want to rush him back thinking, especially if you feel like you need him, how do you think they'll play it?
Yeah, exactly. I think the way that you'll do it is you kind of take your sweet time. You've got other pitchers, right? Like, by no means are you better off without Jared Jones, but you take your time with this guy. You let him build himself back up. You let him start throwing in a timely manner. Give it the rest that he needs. Because worst case scenario, hey, you've got Carmen Majinski for the time being. Thomas Arrington evidently was very close with how long they kept him around big league camp. Braxton Ashcraft is in the minors. Bubba Chandler, in theory, shouldn't be too far gone. So, like, you have other guys that can fill in the holes and can plug in the gaps for the time being. It's obviously not perfect. It's obviously not optimal in the sense that, hey, Jared's not healthy, right? Like, he's not ready to go right now. But you've got other options that should be able, in the interim at least, allow the Pirates to proceed with caution rather than rush this guy back sooner than he needs to be.
Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette. You can read his stuff at postgazette.com. So give me your best. You may already know this, but if not, give me your best guess at the opening day lineup in order and by position.
Ooh, great question. I would say that Tommy Pham batting leadoff in left field, Brian Reynolds in right field batting second, O'Neill Cruz third in center, Andrew McCutchen DHing, Joey Bart behind the dish at catcher in the five hole. Let's go. Whoever will be at first base, which, God.
That's the dilemma right there.
I'll put the word whoever in there, batting sixth, okay?
Yeah, I would say, I guess that could be Endy, but he also hasn't gotten a whole ton of time there. I mean, we'll see. And then you just kind of fill out the rest of it with
Gonzalez.
Going around the diamond. So you would go Hayes seven, Gonzalez eight, and then kind of Falefa nine. Maybe in that order, or maybe you drop down whoever's the first baseman, you put them at the eight or the nine hole, but something along those lines.
Why not Bart cleanup as opposed to Andrew McCutchen? Just flip-flop there. I think Bart is the bat that you really want to have in that situation based on what I've seen.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more just out of respect to McCutchen for the opening day purposes. I think that's more where that comes from. Okay. I don't know that that's necessarily a given, but he did it last year a good amount. He batted leadoff last year a good amount too. I think it's more just, hey, off the top of my head, this makes some deal of sense and pays homage to the guy who's been here for a number of years. But Joey Bart had as good of a spring as anybody, man. He looked pretty darn freaking good there behind the plate and hitting-wise. So he certainly earned the right to be in the cleanup hole if they want to so put him there.
When are we going to see Henry Davis?
Great question. It's tough to say because, right, you've got Spencer Horwitz, who is coming back from the injury theoretically at some point in April. Henry Davis at some point will get up here. If I had to guess, maybe sometime in June, and maybe that's because of an injury to a guy like Endy or Joey Bart. Knock on wood for the Pirates' sake, that doesn't happen, but maybe it's one of those two guys. Maybe it's because you have an opportunity to get reps at DH. Maybe it's because they decide, hey, we really like what we have in Joey Bart and Endy Rodriguez. Maybe this allows the Pirates to move around Henry Davis to another position over the next couple of months. Now, I'm not implying that that's happening. I'm not suggesting that that's anything that's in the works. But this would allow the Pirates to give that a couple of months if they so choose it. I think still personally they view Henry Davis as a catcher first and foremost. But, it would allow them that kind of flexibility to give it a couple of months, let Henry Davis get hot hitting-wise, and let whatever plays out on the catching front play out.
What is your concern with the bullpen, if there is? And is David Bednar, from what you've seen, I know it's not been a good spring, but does he still have the closer label at this point?
I think he still has it as of right now, just in the sense that, let's say the Pirates take the lead tomorrow and it's the ninth inning, somebody has to close. I think David Bednar is still your closer at that point. But by no means is that to suggest that David Bednar has this job on locks and nobody else is going to take it from him. I think what you're looking at is he has struggled this spring. He struggled last year. There's other guys in the bullpen who have warranted the opportunities to be eighth inning, ninth inning guys. So sure, David Bednar might get those chances from the outset, might get those chances from the get-go, but I think there's going to be other guys who are going to get save opportunities, and my concern with the bullpen is relatively high for myriad reasons, whether that's, hey, you fired the bullpen coach in Justin Message and brought in a new guy in Miguel Perez. That was a sign that there was discontent with the bullpen and its performance. Bednar obviously hasn't been great. Guys like Kyle Nicholas are going to start the year in the minor leagues. There are some relatively unknown commodities who I think are going to be on the opening day roster, like a Justin Lawrence, or, you know, that's one name that certainly comes to mind. Some lefties like a Ryan Barucki coming off the injury plague 2024 season. There's so many question marks that I think some of these guys are going to hit, but others much less so. And that leads me to believe that this roster, this bullpen, it's got a good potential to be shaky. And I think that could really be an Achilles heel for this team.
Bob, may I engage Andrew in a game of free association?
Absolutely. This is his last free association.
Andrew, we hardly knew ye, which is why we're going to get to know you better in this version of my free association. Are you ready?
I'm ready as I'll ever be, Joe.
The best sports book you've ever read is what?
Heat by Mike Lupica.
The best book you've ever read is what, Andrew Destin?
Also a sports book, but not as much of a sports book, Moneyball by Michael Lewis.
Your favorite sports movie?
Ooh. Tough call. I'm going with the Bay Area one. I'll go Coach Carter.
Coach Carter comes out of nowhere.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Your favorite
Coach Carter or Hoosiers?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Your favorite city in the world is what?
San Francisco, California.
Which player was the best interview on the Pirates when you covered them?
Soft spot for Nick York. Reps the South Bay. Reps California. I miss that guy already.
Best interview on the Penguins was who?
Marcus Pedersen. What a nice human. What just a great guy.
And the best game you ever saw during your time in Pittsburgh at any level was what?
Oh, man.
It's a tough one, ain't
it? That's a tough one to think about on the spot.
I'm sorry.
No. It's just such a great question. I would say, in the worst way possible, unfortunately, the Blackhawks-Penguins game to end the 22-23 season.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
That was not a good one. City Limits.
Not a good one for the Penguins, but the energy in that building was the best I'd ever seen. And unfortunately, I never covered a Penguins playoff game or anything like that, but the energy in the building that night was unbelievable.
City Limits has a question he'd like to add.
What was it like dodging a foul ball in the press box at Milwaukee that almost crushed you?
Good point. Good question.
Which one?
Good point. There were two.
Yeah, that was a memorable one because that was the first time my phone started blowing up and I started getting the meme generator moments on Twitter. That was a fun one for me. I will not forget that anytime soon.
Well, Andrew, it was a hell of a run. How long were you here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I moved officially January of 2023, but I started coming to Pittsburgh in November of 2022. I was covering Penn State for the Post-Gazette, and I was doing, crazy enough, I'll keep it short, but I was doing like the back and forth drive from State College to Pittsburgh once or twice a week where I would cover Penn State stuff, you know, Wednesday through Saturday, and then I'd come out and help out Mr. Matt Venzel for a little bit of Penguins coverage on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I'd stay with some family friends in Squirrel Hill. So I did that for a couple of months, then moved full-time into Shadyside in January of 23, and then moved to Lawrenceville, where I currently am, in October of 2023, where I've been since, and it's been a blast, man. It's been what a good ride.
Well,
I won't forget it anytime soon.
You did a great job here. You're a talented
guy.
Very much so. You're a good guy. I wish that you and Bob had been able to form more of a friendship, but maybe in another lifetime, Bob.
You never know. Things happen when you least expect it, so maybe we'll cross paths that, but... really enjoy your writing and wish you all the best.
Cause, yes.
And it may sound like it's a tough thing to get over, but you will. Just leaving and getting through all the nerves that comes with that, but you'll have a great time.
And you're going to a great city.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to it, but really appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me on. And yeah, it's been a great run. Thanks for having me on the fan all these times over the last couple of years.
Our pleasure. Right. Limits, did you want to say goodbye publicly to Destiny's Child?
I would love to. It's been a blast, Andrew. Good getting to know you, and appreciate you always jumping on.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate you, Austin. Joe, Bob, thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Tip of the hat.
See you, buddy. Good luck with everything. There he goes,
Thank
Bob.
You.
That was sad. Did you see him fade off
the
screen like that?
I think he was getting a little emotional.
What do we do with this, Bob? Everybody's crying now. You're crying. Now you're sobbing.
I cry every time. Yeah, open a new Walmart, I'll cry. Open a Costco.
Damn, Zach Grilly pops in out of nowhere.
He's here to help. Sharing love for everyone.
I did. Andrew's a good guy. He really is. So off he goes to Seattle to forge his way in the world, Bob.
Yeah, he's going. Well, he seems to be interested in traveling and moving around a lot. So good. He's going to have different experiences. And it's best to do this when you're young.
Yes.
You get older and you don't have the same energy to move and change it, especially if you're like me and you hoard everything. I don't know what to do with some of this stuff.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that leads into our first question for the big boy, Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show.
Joey!
And what a man he is. He's he's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our friend, and you can also see Mark Cabali on our YouTube channel. Look at that, Bob. He just waved.
He's right there.
You should subscribe to our YouTube channel. It don't cost nothing. Get there via our website at 937thefan.com. Especially, Bob, because part of our ratings is how many people are watching us, and lately it's been an awful lot. They want to see your handsome face,
no,
I
they
imagine.
Don't.
Yes,
they're
they do.
They're interested in your run to the Final Four.
All right, big boy. You tweeted something out. You said, what did he say, Limits? Read him his own tweet.
One word to describe Russell Wilson's tenure with the Steelers. Scapegoat.
You think that he was a scapegoat. Tell us why.
Well, I was referring to the last five games of the season and how everything went south. I think a lot of people blaming Russell Wilson for those last five losses and how the season just totally imploded on itself. And partly that's the reason, but that's the only thing people want to talk about right now. That's the reason why they struggled down the stretch. And you only needed two eyes and one brain to realize there was much wrong with this team that led to that, as well as Russell Wilson. I mean, you have a defense that was a sieve, giving up 22 play drives. You had an offensive line that couldn't block. You had a running game that was non-existent. You had just wide receiver crew at one point, consisting of Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, and Scotty Miller. So when I say scapegoat, I said people were really looking at that is the reason why they went 0-5 down the stretch. And
so you didn't mean
not,
that the,
he's not the only reason.
Yeah, you didn't mean that the Steelers were making him a scapegoat, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. Well, no, because I just don't. I just think that he's going to be remembered by being a guy that just can't play football anymore, and the 0-5 getting run out of the building 4 of the last 5 weeks of the season, and the scapegoat is not much has been really said about the defense, and that's much more, and not, that's just as much his fault as anything else.
Yeah, well, I said that earlier to Joe. I think that's the one thing that the Russell Wilson and all quarterback talk tends to dominate over everything else, but that defense allowed way too much and made it too easy for the other team. But you had something else to say? No?
No, Bob, I'm okay. Sitting back in my chair watching you.
No, I meant Joe because I thought it was he had something more that. But, hey, let's talk about this now. Russell Wilson, all right, New York. Jerry Dulac says he wanted to be here until the very end, and it didn't work out. So what did they not like about him after they went to him as a starter in Week 7?
Whew, that's a good question. I mean, nobody knows for real, for sure. I mean, Russell's not going to say anything. That's not his personality. The Steelers aren't going to say anything publicly, but, you know, you can do the math and use your brain here as well of trying to figure out what really happened here. And, I mean, he still played well enough to be in the conversation here at the end, but obviously there's some other stuff that was going on behind the scenes where I would tend to believe that they chose Arthur Smith over Russell Wilson. And I think that's just using common sense right there. I mean, if you're at this point now, where are we at? 3-4 weeks into free agency and still not making a move to that guy, one of two things must have happened. You don't want him back, or you're pretty sure that Aaron Rodgers is going to sign here. And I think both of those things are kind of true right now. So that's the way it is.
All right, so that means Aaron Rodgers is left out there. But there's a part of me that wonders this delay that we're seeing here. Joe and I talked about this earlier, that Minnesota, could they have been, you know, re-engaged here? Maybe Rodgers came here, heard what he had to hear, and went back to them, because there are some reports out there that indicate that maybe Minnesota isn't done because they haven't necessarily said that J.J. McCarthy is their opening day starter.
Yeah, probably the same reports that said that Aaron was going to go visit the Giants the next couple of days, right? Wow. Things that tend to get thrown out there right now. When one thing happens, there's a counteraction to it. Once the Minnesota decision came out, so to speak, it was, oh, maybe he'll wait until somebody gets hurt in the preseason, even though you didn't hear anything about that. Nobody really knows right now. I don't get the sense at all that retirement is on the table. I think I would be pretty much stunned if he came out and said, I'm retiring. What is he waiting for? I mean, there's no really true options out there. Maybe he isn't waiting for something. Maybe he's just wanted to see what they had to say on Friday. Now sleep on it for a couple of days and make sure this what it is. But I don't think Aaron really has that many options right now. There's not going to be a surprise team that comes up. There's not going to be Cleveland Browns are going to come waiting for you. You're not going to wait. Do you really want to wait till September or October if somebody gets hurt for them to call you up? Then you have no choice and you have to go to that team. So I think it's a pretty much a done deal. Why is it waiting so long? Only plausible explanation I have for that is because it's Aaron Rodgers.
I have another explanation for that, and it's the show that you work for. I think he and Pat McAfee might be waiting until April 9th when McAfee has his big event here in Pittsburgh with thousands and thousands of people. It's already sold out. What better night, what better time, given their history together, to announce that Aaron Rodgers is coming to the Steelers? A, do you have any knowledge to that end? And B, as a person who works for McAfee, are you involved with this event, big boy?
You know, first of all, I will say what the players say. It's above my pay grade, so they really haven't really passed. They really haven't passed on any information if it's going to happen or not. I would assume absolutely not, but I wouldn't totally cross it off the list. It would be a spectacular event if Aaron Rodgers comes out to some music, WWE wrestling music, with his belt around his shoulder, getting ready. I mean, he would get the cheers of all cheers right there from the 18, 19,000 people there. But then there would be the backlash from people like you, Joe, and people in the national media. So I don't know. I would say no, that that's a very, very,
you think
very
Pat McAfee
shot.
And Aaron Rodgers care about backlash?
No, but I don't think they care whatsoever.
Are you involved with this event?
No, not that I know of. So we'll see.
Bob, this is an outrage. I think the big boy should be announced.
Absolutely should.
Maybe I'll be there, but we'll see. Come on, we got A-list superstars, and you're acting like I should be even in the conversation.
Jim. Wait, who else is involved that night that you know of?
I bet you a lot of wrestlers, right? You're going to have wrestlers there.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of superstars. I'm not quite sure exactly who it is, but it's not going to be, whoever it is. Chuck from Uniontown, put it that way. It's the only name I can think of right now.
How about Malzi? Will Malzi be involved at all?
I don't think his head could fit in there.
Oh,
you were going to say that anyways, Joe.
No, you outthought me there. Bob, what's your next question for the big boy?
The next question would be, what happens? I know you say you're confident it'll get done. What if it doesn't? So what is plan B
or C or D?
I still think they're going to draft someone, Mark, in this draft. It'll be in the middle rounds. It won't be high. And then they'll redraft that position again next year because they have to find somebody. But in the meantime, what do they do if Aaron Rodgers, for whatever reason, decides not to come here?
We know who he is. He was number two in your heart. No, number one in your heart. Number two in the old game book. Mason Rudolph, baby.
Yeah, but they need somebody else, don't they? They need somebody else. It was the Mason train.
Rudolph train.
There was no doubt about it.
I don't know if there's anybody else really out there.
Joe Flacco? I mean, as a veteran.
If you're Flacco, do you want to come here to be that backup? And that's what it would be. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers decides not to come here, you're coming as a backup because then Mason would be your starter.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm
so you think
sure
he would be in the pole position, Mason, to use Mike's term?
Yeah, I would love to see how they would label it, though. I wonder if they're going to say he's our starter. I doubt that they would if that would occur. I don't think we have to worry about it, but hypothetically speaking, I think Mason's your number one. That brings some mid-level quarterback in. I really haven't stayed up on my free agents who have gone and who's still out there. But I don't know about the draft, Bob, just for the fact that they don't have a second rounder.
Right.
So you got one pick. You got a first of. You got two picks in the first 2 days, right? The first and the third. Mm-hmm. Man, if Milroe can be around in the fourth round, which it doesn't seem like that would be possible, then maybe take a flyer on that. If not, then what are you talking about now?
Just somebody like that they brought in with. Who's the guy who's now with Kansas City? He's won two Super Bowls.
Oladukin.
Somebody, an arm. At some point you're going to need one. It may be a free agent, whatever. They're going to still need somebody.
Maybe Spencer Horwitz, Bob.
Spencer from
Ben's. Boy, it won't be Jared Jones because he can't do anything for 6 weeks.
Yeah, I just don't think they'll bring somebody in, obviously. They have to have four quarterbacks. They'll find somebody to bring in. But I don't think it would be a draftable guy unless, I don't think they're willing to go in the third round.
Hypothetically, let's say they really fall in love with, say, Quinn Ewers or Howard from Ohio State. Would they bypass a need?
Bob, I'm having an emergency here, and I have to leave for a moment.
Yeah, a blowout?
I got to pee like a runaway billy goat. And
I'll be right back. Check out prostate.
Don't tell him that. He has a long list of things. He's worried about And now if that has to be on the table, he'll think about it and not sleep all night. So we can't go there with him.
Why does he let us know that? Why can't he just walk out of the room and just pull an Irish goodbye?
He was going to get a piece of pizza. He could have done anything. But, yeah.
That's what it is.
The fact that he had to tell us on a play-by-play notion that he was going to, you know, have to. Billy Goat. What is that anyway? I never heard that. A runaway Billy Goat?
Runaway Billy Goat? I don't know. Does the Billy Goat run away?
Hey, Bob, you got to mess with him. With the prostate thing now, say, man, well, 80-year-old, often, there's 80-year-old people pee, that can hold it longer than you.
Well, maybe the prostate's getting the size as his ego. I don't know that. Maybe that's
How about that?
Just kidding, Joe. Shots fired. Hey, Joey. All right, so what are they – hey, so what about that? What about in the third round, would they bypass a need to go for some – if they really liked Howard, if they really liked, I don't know, Ewers – what would you, do you think they would do that?
I guess it would have to depend on who's left on the board. I'm not giving up a guy that can help you this year or next year for a guy that potentially could be your backup in 2 or 3 years. I don't think that's the proper way to go. I mean, I'm sure you guys talked about the abundance of potential compensatory picks mm-hmm. and what you can possibly do with it. Now, they could package some of those picks to move into the second round. You can't package those compensatory picks per se because they're not really official yet, but you can package some other picks mm-hmm. to maybe move up into the second round, and that maybe brings something back in. I don't know about Will Howard. I mean, stuff you hear or I heard during the season when Mike Tomlin's talking to players – didn't seem like he was the most interested in a Will Howard, but that was before that run they went on to in the college football playoffs. So maybe that changes it. But Quinn Ewers is a guy that you have to keep an eye on too. But to me, he seems like a destined to be a long-term backup, which yeah, I guess in your case is not bad, right? You're going to eventually need one, right?
Right, that's what I mean. Just that because, and I could see a situation where they draft one this year and then really move high and draft somebody who they really believe in next year as the franchise guy. So Joe's back. He's corrected his. Is it ED? What do you have going on?
What? No, that would have been no. All right, big boy. Thank you for the time today. Yeah.
Hey Joe. You know they got those little bedpan things. You might have to.
Can you imagine that? We used to wonder about Ron when he was in here if we were going to have to put him in a diaper during the show.
We're all headed in that direction.
Limits was going to have to burp him, and then we're going to have to put him in a diaper.
Oh, no thanks. That's well above my pay grade.
What's worth is a catheter. You get one of those things in there, you know.
Oh, that's not happening.
That ain't happening.
You take the bedpan.
That's not happening. Yeah.
So
that's my biggest fear right there.
Yeah, I think about that a lot.
He has a list of things he's worried about. It's going to drive him crazy, the stress over just thinking.
I've been up since 4 a.m. just thinking. I don't know how do any of us do it? There's 8 million things to think about. I don't think about my parents enough. They're getting old. They're back in Buffalo, 93 years old. I don't think about them enough, and I woke up in the middle of the morning thinking about them, and then my daughter driving, and then my future. What am I going to do? And then this trip we're taking this weekend, and we're going to have the dog. And then, you know, my brother, how's he doing? And my little nieces back in Buffalo. Everything, the future of this, of radio, of terrestrial radio.
Joe, you can't do anything about it, so why worry about it? Right?
That's true.
That's actually a good point.
It's a down payment on stress.
But that's like saying to someone who's addicted to cigarettes, why don't you just stop? Because I can't. Not that I smoke cigarettes.
You can go get some help.
You have to put your faith in something. You can't just sit there and worry about every little. I know how that is. Trust me. I just came
I really don't. But the point is, sometimes it'll all hit at once, and then someone will say, "How are you doing? Hey, Joe, how you doing?
You gotta clear your head.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm doing.
You can't bring that to bed. Period.
I know. Well, Bob, again, that's like saying just quit smoking. It's easier said than done.
No. This is not. You're not addicted to these thoughts. You just bring them up.
The thoughts rush in. What are you going to do?
Turn them off.
How?
By not thinking about them. Go to sleep at night. Think about positive things. Kiss Susie. Think about your daughter and all the success she's had. Think about your career, which is flourishing to the point now where you're moving into Joey Brackett.
No, it's not my career. My career. What?
Think of that golf shot you dropped 2 feet from the pin.
There is none to think about.
Oh, yeah, he has a hole in one, Mark. He has
limits.
A hole in
do you
one.
Have thoughts rush in like this ever?
Sometimes. Sometimes. But I try not to think about it too much. Sometimes I do get a little bit paranoid.
Yes.
Hey, Joe, he woke up in the middle of the night sweating because I beat him in the Joey Bag of Donuts Sweet 16 matchup.
Oh, we didn't talk about that yet. He blew you out, Limits, didn't he?
Was it a blowout? I think it ended up being 60-40. I cut the gap. I cut the gap down to about 54, I think it was, 54-46. I got close against the big boy. It was like RMU getting close against Alabama, but ultimately too hard to pull it off.
Everybody's playing for second place.
I know,
we
Bob.
Know the winner.
We know Bob's going to
Bob
win.
Bob will win.
Who are you matched up against right now, big boy?
You'd have to ask Bechtel that one. I have no idea.
I think you are. Oh, you're up on Taylor.
Watch it excite.
Yeah, Taylor Haas. You're up against her 70-29. You're going to advance. And then
who's next for Mark?
Well, that's a great question. I think Donnie Football is next on your list. What a matchup of the big boys. Donnie is staging an epic comeback on Bob Labriola, who went into the four corners too early. It looks like Donnie Football against Kabali in the next round, Bob. What a matchup.
That would be
the
something.
The problem is I'll play dirty, and I'll associate Donnie with Pony, and everybody hates Pony, so that will take all the votes away from him.
Wait, we have a lot bigger news than that.
What happened?
I just saw a flyer that was just put out by some students at Waynesburg that says that Mark Kabali will be attending the Waynesburg Comm Department Sports Announcing and Sports Journalism Camp this summer.
What? You're going to journalism camp? Finally. Finally, you're going to camp to learn how to become a journalist. Oh, wait, you're one of the speakers?
I've been doing that for like 7 years now. Last year it was me, Paul Staggerwald, John Staggerwald. No, yeah, no. One of the
they haven't had a camp in over 5 years.
Why don't I get invited to this? I was a teacher there.
They haven't, I don't know, ask Lanny. He put it together, him and Richard Krause.
What do you mean it's a camp? What do? Run your kids through journalism drills? How does this work?
it's a good program they have down there.
I know. They do everything well down there.
Yeah. Lanny called me a couple weeks ago, and I haven't got back to him yet, so I got to send him something. Yeah, I've done that about 8 times. It's usually me, Paul and John Staggerwald, and Bill Hillgrove.
And this also says Tony Caridi and Rob King will be there.
Wow.
Yeah, that was last year. Rob King and Tony. Yeah, they were like superstars, and I was like I was like an idiot. So Tony's talking.
Now
like
I got another thing to worry about. My wife just literally, as I was talking about things I'm worrying about, said our local taxes were $737, and then we still need to do our federal taxes, and God only knows what that's going to be, Bob.
I just did a property tax thing, and that stuff keeps going higher and higher and higher, and just
that's. I didn't even mention money. The other thing to worry about.
So you owe $736.
Yes. That's little.
Well, that means
the federal
you're probably
thing's
looking
be
at least five times that. You're probably at 35,000 or 3,500 or maybe $4,000.
Imagine being an independent contractor where they don't take any taxes out, Joe.
Is that you right now?
That was me.
So you have to pay. Do you go monthly or quarterly, or how do you do it?
I will this year. I already paid quarterly, but I was anticipating my second half of my year being having to pay for it, so I automatically deducted money, so it disappeared until I had to use it to pay the taxes.
McAfee give you meals?
Oh, I do all that. I mean, it's just an independent contractor, but everything else is covered.
So if you take a road trip,
you take out your own taxes, which means I got to pay more taxes because you got to pay Medicare twice and all that garbage.
See, I'm trying to get you. Trying to get you worried now. So if you go on a road trip for the Steelers, he pays for gas and meals?
Like I'm going to Florida on Saturday for the owners meeting.
Yeah.
Fly there, get the car, get the hotel, airport parking, whatever. And yeah.
Do you send him to go afterwards, or does he give you a credit card, Pat McAfee Express, Visa, or whatever?
No, they're spectacular. They're by far the best people of paying the expenses. Normally you'd have to wait months or weeks if you're normal. You know how that works, Joe.
Can you go out and get a nice steak then?
I can get anything I want.
How about that, Bob?
Well, that's different.
Well, I try not to because I don't want to be that guy.
I would. I'd get the surfing turf.
He makes $120 million. You
yeah,
don't have to
get
worry
anything
about
you
that.
Want. He'll pay for
steak.
It.
Joe, we grew up in the era where we had to pay $100 or less for a hotel room. It's just ingrained in my system of being cheap. So I can't do that. But, you know, I will turn in the expenses at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it literally will be in my bank account by like 2 p.m. You ever hear of anything like that?
Thank you, big boy.
All right. Don't
Mark,
stress too much.
Have a nice trip south.
See you, buddy.
All right, Bubby.
Take it easy. Mark Caboli. On the hotline.